You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fair pay agreements about setting a minimum standard for a core set of conditions for an occupation or an industry. And it's something that many countries have, like Australia has a modern award system that does the same thing. And many other countries, in particularly in Europe and Scandinavia, have similar mechanisms. And the reason why we do that is so that when businesses are competing, they can't sort of compete on the price of labour by driving the cost of labour down to win tenders or contracts or business. And we needed some protection for industries because that's what we're seeing. We've been seeing a real downward pressure, a race to the bottom on wages and conditions. The kinds of industries we've gone out to seek fair pay agreements, like for bus drivers or supermarket workers or early childhood security and cleaning, those kinds of jobs, hospitality, are ones where there's really downward pressure on wages and conditions all the time. So the idea here is to set a minimum standard. How do we go about that? Well, rather than like in some countries where a third party simply just determines the standard and announces it, we've come up with a process after working it through with government and business. The CTU's come up with a process alongside of them, which effectively says, get representatives of workers and employers in the room within a given industry or occupation and get them to discuss and try to come up with an agreement for what a sensible set of minimum standards would be. The legislation, the Fair Pay Agreement Act, provides for that kind of discussion and negotiation. It sets out there are some particular things you have to talk about, like the rate of pay, hours of work, weekend rates and so on, and sets out some stuff that you have to discuss but not necessarily agree on. And the idea being that the parties would do that, and then they would go back to their constituents, employers to businesses, and unions would go back to all workers, not just union members, and describe to them where those discussions got to, and hopefully propose an agreement for that to go back, and the employers would do the same thing, and then you would have an agreement. If the parties can't get agreement, then it simply goes to the employment authority, who would fix the terms themselves. They would say, we've seen the evidence, we've listened to both sides, and here is the minimum standard we think should be set on those particular terms. There's a few things that are different from normal collective bargaining. Probably the first one that's important is there is no opportunity for industrial action. Unions and workers can't refuse to work for a fair pay agreement, and neither can employers lock people out. It's more a process of setting minimum standards. There is still every right for workers and employers to engage in industrial action if they wish outside of this. Collective bargaining for normal collective employment agreements carries on unaffected by the minimum standards, except they can't be lower than the minimum standards set in an FPA. So nobody can be employed on a fair pay agreement. You still have to have an employment agreement, either a collective one or an individual one. An FPA just simply says no employment agreements can go under the standard set by the Fair Pay Agreement or the FPA. So there is all rights to industrial action remain, but you can't take action in getting a Fair Pay Agreement. You can only take action in getting a collective employment agreement.
And I just wanted to touch on something you talked about there, because one of the critiques of the fair pay legislation was that it would interfere with the negotiation between individual employees and their employers. Do you think that's a valid critique?
No, there's been a lot of, I think, misinformation circulated about that. It is still compulsory for every employer and every worker to negotiate an employment agreement, either individually or collectively. Nothing about that changes. The only interference is that when there's a minimum standard set by an FPA, employers can't insist on taking workers underneath that minimum standard. We already have other minimum standards in our economy, like the Minimum Wage Act, like the Holidays Act and so forth, but those are very blunt instruments for the entire economy. What a fair pay agreement does is set minimum standards around core conditions that are specific for an industry or an occupation and are much more relevant. So I think that a really, you know, that issue there comes from a place of wanting to take people's conditions down below a minimum standard, which is we shouldn't allow people the flexibility to do that. We should allow the flexibility to have conditions above that standard that is unchanged. FPAs don't prevent higher rates, they just prevent lower rates.
And the National Party campaigned on repealing the Fair Pay Agreement legislation. and it looks likely that they'll form a government. So I wanted to pose a question to you. Who does repealing the Fair Pay Agreement legislation benefit?
It's not clear who it will benefit. I guess a lot of employers who intend to pay badly, it'll benefit them. It'll benefit employers who like paying bad conditions and like competing on the cost of labour. It won't benefit good employers who like to lift the standard of conditions in their industry, and we do have employers telling us that it's actually quite good not to be undercut by people who and other businesses who like to cut wages, because what happens, a whole industry gets dragged down with it, and you can see that in places like bus driving. The bus industry has really struggled to recruit people because there's been such downward pressure on all the wages in the sector. And in fact, in Wellington, the bus drivers were locked out by their employer a couple of years ago. That is, the employer said, you can't come to work, I'm taking industrial action against you until you lose some of your conditions, because while you've got those good union conditions, we can't win another contract, and therefore I need you to cut them. The winners will be bad employers, the losers will be good employers, and of course the losers will be the workforce themselves. They stand from losing conditions of employment and losing a decent contract. And I think overall the industry will be the loser, because an industry can't build up a good reputation as a great place to work with good conditions if that industry is dogged by bottom feeders who keep dragging conditions down and undercutting good conditions.
Yeah, and you touched on it there, but I wanted to just kind of delve into a little bit about who will be most affected. What industries do you think will be most affected by this legislation being repealed?
Well, what we have at the moment is we've got initiation has been approved for fair pay agreements for bus drivers and bus workers, for supermarket workers, for early childhood workers, for security guards, for cleaners, for hospitality workers. All those groups are currently in the process of proceeding with getting a fair pay agreement. That has only just happened in the last few months. Bus drivers are at the front of that queue, and we are already in the room negotiating, but we haven't got anywhere near it. We haven't had anywhere near enough time yet to get to a settlement. We've only met for a day. All of those groups stand to lose from this rush to get the legislation through. We are really concerned that an incoming government sees this as such a priority to remove the conditions of these workers, most of whom are essential workers and were critical to our COVID response, put themselves in harm's way so we could all be safe, and yet we have an incoming government that's determined to undermine their interests by moving as quickly as they possibly can to remove their right to a fair pay agreement. I think it's really disappointing that a government which says it has so much to do would make undermining these workers its number one priority.
Do we have a fundamental societal and cultural issue with how we view the value of labour, and particularly minimum wage workers in New Zealand?
We certainly do have our own approach to these things, and we do, and the union movement does have an issue about that. We seem to have employers who not only want to, and really a low-wage, low-skill, low-productivity economy, and we don't invest in workers and really invest in work. We don't invest in R&D. We don't invest in really enhancing our economy towards getting to become high-wage, high-skill, high productivity, low emissions economy. Sorry, that's a bit of a mouthful. But that's where we should be getting to. But New Zealand just seems to be on a different path, and we really need to turn that around. If we compare ourselves to countries that were, you know, like Australia, like Scandinavia, like the European Union and so forth, they have higher wages, much higher productivity, and they have, I think, much more respect for work and workers. From our point of view, you know, labour is not a commodity. Labour is what people do, and it should be done with dignity and respect. A good job is somewhere where people can really build a sense of purpose, of meaning, of dignity, of collegiality, and really come home stronger and better than when people went to work, and a real sense of purpose and value. Unfortunately, too many workers in New Zealand have the opposite experience at work. It's dangerous, it's unhealthy, it's undignified. People there's a top-down master-servant management culture, and all of those things really need to change for New Zealand to really get where it needs to be, instead of languishing sort of at the bottom of things like health and safety statistics, productivity statistics, sort of labour turnover statistics, and so on. All of that really needs a major shake-up in New Zealand, and a different vision and a different approach to leadership.
That was Richard Wagstaff, the president of the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions, discussing the possible repealing of the Fair Pay Agreement legislation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.